The champagne flowed, the shrimp cocktails, the crab cakes, the sushi. I indulged in it all.
Buccaneers fans, here he is. Here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's the custodian of Canton in a big way today, fresh off his trip to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, honored on television, hobnobbing with all the cool guys. You know all his names. He's Ira. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is joining us as always, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. First, Ira, you know I'm a little under the weather, and so I'm fighting through, but I know you are extra fired up. You got your birthday tomorrow, and so you're going to carry me through this, right, Ira?
Absolutely, and I'm going to celebrate my birthday in one buck place. I'm coming out to training camp. Simeon, if you're listening to this podcast, stay over another day. I want to say hello to, and we'll talk about your Hall of Fame chances, by the way.
There you go. That'll be a fun conversation, Ira. But look, your podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. And right now, Ira, at Bill Curry Ford, people are reserving their 2022 Ford Maverick. The Ford Maverick 2022. Also, their nationwide lifetime warranty applies, as always, to new and used vehicles. GM Sean Sullivan is there. He's fired up, ready for Bucks fans to help them any way he can. Bill Curry Ford, 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. You, Ira, you drive a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape, Sage. Are you enjoying that still?
I'm enjoying it more than ever because now I have a point of comparison, Steve. I rent a car in Cleveland. Cost me an arm and a leg because it's a Hall of Fame weekend. And what do they give me, Steve? They give me a damn Prius, a freaking Prius. And I get in there and it says, 56 miles a gallon. That looks good. And then, Steve, we got our luggage. We can't open the freaking trunk. I got no key. I got no thing on the key fob to open the trunk. I got a panic button and I pressed it because I'm in a panic. I can't put my luggage in. I'm looking inside for the buttons on the steering wheel. There's no button for the trunk. What's the matter with these people? That tells me you want some quality vehicles. You go to Ford. You go to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium. You talk to Sean Sullivan. You mentioned the Ira Kaufman discount. You don't even need that. He's going to put you in the car that you want, and you're going to be very happy about it.
Unbelievable, Ira. You are the man. The birthday boy is fired up. Ira, look, so there you go. You go to the Hall of Fame. You're at the big John Lynch party. Lionel Richie is there singing. You've got like 200 people. You're hanging with the Glazers, all these Bucks greats. There you are. And of course, the next day is the Hall of Fame ceremony. I'm going to clear the floor. First, tell us about the party. What's the over-under on calories you consumed? Who were you annoying? Who were you up in their business? Who gave you some great insight? What's going on?
Well, the food and the drink were superb. The champagne flowed, the shrimp cocktails, the crab cakes, the sushi. I indulged in it all. And after schmoozing for about 2 hours, which is my number one occupation when I'm not writing columns and doing this podcast, Steve, we moved into the main ballroom. John Lynch says we got a musical guest. He didn't say who it was. They said, we need about 15, 20 minutes to set up. You know, I'm thinking it's some kind of Christian choir or something. Isbitz, you know, he's a very religious guy. I figure I got the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Next thing I know, Lionel Richie's up there grabbing a microphone. He's got everybody dancing. And may I say, with no harm meant, this goes out. Glazer boys, don't give up your day job. You ain't no John Travolta out there. I saw your feet moving, but there was no rhythm, and you were a little bit behind the beat, Steve. A little bit behind the beat. Joe Glazer was feeling no pain, Steve, during that party, basking in the glory of the Vince Lombardi trophy, unsatisfied. He wants another one. He wants a third one under the Glazer ownership. You know, it's been 25 years, and he wants another one. He's got his fingers crossed about the health issues. There are all kinds of former Bucks there. The 2002 people came out in hordes. No Warren Sapp, Steve. No Sapp at the party. You know, I had my wife as a bodyguard. Unnecessary. I saw Rich McKay. He had his former henchmen, John Idzik, and Tim Ruskell. I did not see Jerry Angelo. I don't believe he was there. But it was a who's who, Steve. Mike Shanahan wandering around. I expected David Baker. You can't miss that guy, Steve. He's 6'9", 400 pounds. But I didn't see him. Hell of a party. I think Lynch got home about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then he got up early to, you know, do some final chiseling on his speech. Gary and I drove down from, you know, we were staying near Cleveland, an hour drive to Canton. We got down there. We had to park at the fairgrounds, Steve, and take a shuttle because you can't get into the village. It's too crowded on this particular weekend. It's the big weekend of the year. We took a shuttle. What we didn't realize is where the shuttle leaves you off, Steve, it's a freaking 3/4 mile walk. Now, of course, I'm in tennis shape, Steve. I'm down 11 pounds, but my wife's compromised. And after about 1/4 mile, she says, can we get somebody in a golf cart to help us? I go, look around. There's nobody. I'm looking for Sap, maybe, you know, wandering by with a golf cart. No such luck. Well, anyway, we got there. The hordes were there because there were some Hall of Famers hanging around the front of the hall. And, of course, Steve, I used my influence. Got us in with 2 tickets. Complimentary, Steve. Complimentary for a selector. And we got in there. And, Steve, we started walking around. And, of course, we want to see the bust room because my wife had never been to Canton.
Sure.
And, you know, we talked to one of the volunteers. I said, well, what's the wait from this point? He goes, 1 hour and 15 minutes. Well, that simply won't do. So I got my enshrinement ticket around my neck. And he goes, who are you? I said, I'm a selector. I'm the Tampa Bay selector. You are? What's your name? I gave him the name. He might have made a phone call. He escorts me in, Steve. I cut the line. I cut in front of 87 people. Yes, I did, Steve. And I didn't feel guilty about it one iota. And my wife said, where's Sap and where's Brooks? Where are the bus? And we went right there. And Steve, if you've never been there, for anybody that's listening, they're right across from each other. And I think Brooks demanded that of David Baker. And I think they accommodated Brooks. Brooks said, I want to be looking at the bust of Warren Sapp. And that's what happened, Steve. And there's a nice spot for John Lynch. And then we made our way over to the stadium, Steve. Now, it was muggy. You know, it was 86, 88 degrees, muggy. But the rain held off. But I sat in the Bucks section. And all these former Bucks were there. And Brady and Arian showed up, and they were in the Colts section. They're in the Colts section, but Steve, you sent me on a mission, and you gave me a little reward to do some extra work. So I went out there with a tape recorder. I'm the only guy out there with a tape recorder. Everything else is to celebrate the John Lynch thing, and this is a hell of an occasion. And I'm out there working this, Bits. I'm working it. Mike Shanahan, step right up. Booger McFarland, step right up. Joe Theismann, step right up. Glazer, step right up. My tape recorder's full, Steve. I'm going to transcribe it. It'll be a column later this week. And then, of course, Steve, the highlight of the weekend for me, personally, I think you'd understand, Steve, you're watching it in the comfort of your home and we're 100 feet from the stage. And John Lynch gets to the end of his speech and he does a shout out to David Baker and says Ira Kaufman or Kaufman. I don't care if he mispronounced my name, Isbitz. I don't care. He said it. And I looked at my wife. I don't think it registered. I think she was stunned. Absolutely stunned. And then I looked over, you know, one more seat, and I saw Rick Stroud. He looked a little stunned. I couldn't believe it, Steve. I just couldn't believe it. And I sent a note to Lynch that night thanking him. That doesn't happen very often, Steven. Not at a acceptance speech. I mean, especially when you only got 6 or 8 minutes. And by the way, Steve, I think you'd agree because you watched the ceremony.
I cried, Ira. I cried.
Steve, what a great idea by Baker to really cut down on how long the speeches were. And they were great speeches. But no more 25, 35-minute rambling speech. Manning was fantastic. You know, Pearson was the leadoff batter. He was great. And there's Lynch batting cleanup with a plea for national unity. Everybody's talking about Lynch's sentiments. One hell of a weekend, Steve. And then Monday I go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Right the Bette Midler exhibit. No, I'm kidding. You know, and I saw all my favorites, the Pioneers of Rock, the Chuck Berrys, and the, right to the Allman Brothers, right to Cream, and one heck of a weekend, Steve. One heck of a weekend.
Sage, you are on fire. I got to say, Ira, I like the long speeches. You know, I look at it this way. When you enter the Podcast Hall of Fame, I don't want them to hold you back to 6 minutes. You've just been fired up here. You've just been on a 9-minute epic rant. Who wants to cut that short, Ira?
You know, you make a strong point, Steve, and I've said this before. I said, 30 minutes is 30 minutes, but the guy's waited his whole playing career, maybe his whole lifetime, to get on that stage and do his thank yous to the people that helped him along the way. And John Lynch could have talked for easily another 15 minutes, Steve, and it wouldn't have been boring. And he could have told some great stories about the 02 Buccaneers. And we wouldn't have minded it one bit, Steve. So, you know, 8-minute speech, but I did not make a big deal about guys that were rambling.
Yeah, they've earned the time. And look at Tom Brady. When he goes in one day, he's the exception, of course. But we're talking 22 years. Gosh, you're going to give him 30 seconds per Super Bowl, basically, to chat about, you know. But it's like you said, some of these guys were waiting forever. Tom Flores, you know, he spoke very well, and he could have talked for a hell of a lot longer. Wouldn't have been boring. So I'm all about letting these guys be free. But Sage, I got to ask you this. It's come up before as a debate. You've talked about it with Derek Brooks on the Identity Tampa Bay, your Tampa 2 show, and you've touched on it in columns. You've weighed in. But I was curious. I know you said everybody was drinking and having a good time, and you were talking to some ex-Bucks. You mentioned in your column that they're all convinced that they would have beaten the 2020 Bucks. Is that universal across the board? What are they saying? What are they saying to you?
The basic premise, and I think it's a very strong one, Steve. Although you don't necessarily agree, is that the only side of the ball. Not count special teams, but of the four sides of the ball, the only side between the 2020 Bucks and the 02 Bucks that was truly historic was the 02 Buck defense. And I don't think that can be argued against. They really can't. If there's one unit out of those four that rose above all others, it was the 02 Buck defense. And you can say what you want about how good the Devin Whites were playing and Shaq Barrett's, but, you know, they didn't exactly shut down the Saints. They didn't exactly shut down Aaron Rodgers. Heck, they didn't shut down Taylor Heineke. Steve, they did a job on Mahomes. They did. But you're not going to compare that to the 02 Bucks. So that was kind of the premise of their answers. However, and I'll write about this later in the week, Steve, Booger McFarland, and you've been around Booger McFarland. He's very sharp, Steve. He's very, very sharp. And he was the first guy that I asked about it on Sunday, who's going to win that game. And, of course, Booger was on the 02 team. And he also won a Super Bowl with the Colts in 06. And McFarland didn't hesitate, Steve. Very interesting answer. What rules are we playing under? What he meant was if the Bucks could play with 02 physicality, they were going to handle Brady and this offense as good as it is. As good as the weapons are, Brian Kelly, Barber, Lynch, Brooks, Quarles, they were going to rough up the Buck receivers to the point they were going to be ineffective. And, of course, you got Sapp and Simeon Rice applying the heat. And, Steve, with all due respect to Donovan Smith, we're always honest on this show. Donovan Smith didn't face anybody like Simeon Rice in the postseason. I mean, he did. I mean, come on. Are you going to compare Chase Young as a rookie to Simeon Rice in his prime? I mean, come on. Not to mention Warren Sapp, a two-time All-Decade player. I mean, come on. Ali Marpet, with all due respect, you would have had your hands full. So I think it's a very fertile discussion. I think it's a great discussion. And I told the 02 guys, I said, hey, I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago, guys, and I kind of weighed in on the 02 Bucks. You know, I agreed with Brooks. The 02 team would win. And I told Brad Johnson and Quarles and Allstott, and I said, I got pilloried. you know, the comments, they were killing me. Ah, what are you talking about? And I said, you know who's doing the commenting? 28-year-olds who don't remember the O2 Buccaneers. And Steve, you know I'm right about that. A lot of those comments come from young Buck fans, and they don't have a point of reference with the O2 Bucks. They just don't. So automatically they go, oh, the 20 bucks automatically. I don't see it that way, Steve.
The comment from Booger is interesting. You know, it adds to the debate, but if you're going to play under the 2002 rules, where, of course, you know, you could have different kinds of hits and, you know, John Lynch wouldn't be John Lynch in today's game. But if you're going to play under those rules, you've got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who are extraordinarily physical receivers, who would be more physical if they had to be. And you've also got guys on the Bucs defense who'd be, you know, hitting people in the ways that those guys used to as well. Jordan Whitehead, you know, would be an enforcer over the middle, and the defenses, the current defense would have adjusted to play more into that style. So it's hard to say. It's fun though. I was curious though, because it seemed like you talked to a lot of guys, and I guess you were, Ira, holding court there in Canton.
You know, Steve, I wish there was somebody around one Buck. Well, maybe Quarles, because he's still part of the organization, but somebody with a little perspective that's close to both teams. Maybe Quarles. You know, there's nobody on this coaching staff that was there in 02. I mean, and certainly not a player. So it's a fun debate, Steve. We'll never know the answer.
Sage, we're fired up about the Bucks and hear more of your stories, of course. And we're going to get to the current day. And we'll get Lee in here, who's been grinding away at practice. And
hey, Steve, I want to make one more point, Stevie. And it's an important one.
Well, wait, before you get there, Ira, before you get there, speaking of important points, we got more storms pointing their way at Florida. That means you got to be ready. And that means having Florida's Elite Restoration in your phone, in your laptop, on speed dial, on the fridge, ready to go, because that's who you call if you have any disaster in your home, storm damage, wind damage, mold, flood, fire, whatever it is. Florida's Elite Restoration, they're a local company. That's Tampa Bay's first call if you have any problem, because they are going to come out and give you a free assessment in your home, figure out what's going on. They'll work with you with your insurance company to make sure everything gets done right if you have to go that route, and they're reliable and you can trust them. This is the time of year you have to be prepared. Everybody talks about having a hurricane kit. Well, that's got to include Florida's Elite Restoration. Their phone number and their website, floridaseliterestoration.com, right in there.
Steve, here's an important point about that. You know, Steve, when celebrities or somebody does an endorsement on television, you know, they're getting well paid, and they may or may not actually really know the company that they're endorsing. A lot of times they don't, Steve, but they want that paycheck. Steve, with Florida's Elite Restoration, we know who's in charge. We know who the employees are. And maybe even more importantly, Steve, we know people that have used them. We're very close to people that have used Florida's Elite Restoration on more than one occasion. And say that, you know, if they ever have that problem, they'll use them again without hesitation. These are satisfied customers. So, Steve, we're speaking from a little bit of experience.
Ira, with that little lead up that you gave there, I thought you were going to say, I'm a celebrity who doesn't get paid enough. I thought you were going to go that route. The phone number, 727-807-1005, 727-807-1005. And obviously they're easy to find, floridaselite-restoration.com, or you can just Google and type in Florida's Elite Restoration like most people do. They're awesome. Be ready. So Sage, what's that last thing you said you wanted to get to?
Yeah, and Buck fans are going to be very interested in this. One of the major themes, besides celebrating the fabulous career of John Lynch, but one of the major themes of the weekend is the Bucs aren't finished yet. They're not finished yet. And that comes from the organization. You know, the Glazers, you know, and some of the members of the O2 Bucs, the Allstots, and the Quarles, and Brian Kelly, they're all in my ear already, Steve. Rondé's next. Rondé, and of course, Brian Kelly was the opposite corner to Rondé Barber. And then on third down, Rondé moved over to nickelback. And Booger was giving me advice for the next presentation for Rondé Barber. Booger says I should focus on Rondé Barber, the nickelback. creating the position, the first great nickel. And now it's a dominating position in the National Football League. Rondé is the prototype. So I'm already getting advice about Rondé Barber, but there was a roundtable discussion, Steve, in Canton on Sunday afternoon, hours before the induction ceremony, and the class of 2021 went into this roundtable discussion. And I think the very last question, I think Steve Weiss was the host, was pick a guy who's not in the hall that you want to be. And, of course, Alan Faneca said Hines Ward. Charles Woodson might have said Cliff Branch. And John Lynch didn't hesitate. Rondé Barber. Rondé Barber's got to be in the hall. And the clock's ticking. It never ends.
I saw the roundtable, Ira. Interesting was Peyton Manning was sitting next to Lynch and was nodding in agreement when Lynch said that, which not that that's an endorsement, but it was kind of cool to see at least the visual of it. But the pressure's on, Sage. Pressure's on. Looks like he'll probably be a finalist. And yes. Then you're gonna have to step up, Ira.
Steve, I'm a realist, and if Rondé doesn't get in, which I think he certainly has the credentials, if he doesn't get in January, at least I want him to show that he survived the first cut. That would make him poised to get in the next year or two. You got to make the first cut, and last year he didn't. So at the very least, Steve, I'm looking for some advancement from Rondé Barber. I think when we look at the list of 15 guys that are going to be announced this winter, I think you and I are both going to say Rondé Barber might be the number one guy on this list. I mean, he might be. There's no Peyton Manning on this list. There's no Charles Woodson on this list. Megatron? No. The top guy is DeMarcus Ware in terms of first-year eligibles. And, you know, DeMarcus Ware was a very, very good football player. Got about 140 sacks. I'm not knocking the guy, but he's not Peyton Manning. So we shall see, Steve. But the clock's ticking on Rondé, and I'm going to get a lot of help from former Buccaneers.
There you go, Sage. All right, Ira. Look, I screwed up a little bit with some of our production here and our timing and our communication, Sage, and no Lee. No Lee. So we're going to cut this a little bit shorter than we thought, and then we'll dive really deep into some of the stuff going on at camp as we head into the first preseason game, which is Saturday night. And I'm excited, Ira. We ran a poll on Joe Bucks Fan. I think about 2 out of 3 fans said they were either super excited or excited. So, hey, opening night of preseason is always a big deal, Sage, and we'll talk about that more. But what I wanted to run past you, Ira, is we've had sort of a bit of a roller coaster ride when it comes to Joe Tryon.
Yeah.
Jason Pierre-Paul is basically gushing over Tryon, saying that, man, this guy's a lot more of a complete player than when I came into the league, and he's got all kinds of moves, and he's going to be a difference maker. And Bruce Arians is high on him one day, down on him the next, but then he roller coastered back to being high on him. But regardless, now, however you say it, the vibe around Tryon is that he's going to be a legitimate contributor right away. It's exciting, Ira. What are you going to be looking for from him, and how real do you think this is?
Well, I got to say, you know, this preseason hype is substantial. It is substantial, but I always temper it. You know, in August, there's been many Buccaneer flash in August and disappear in September. I'm hoping that's not going to be Tryon. Maybe it won't be. I'm a little surprised he's as advanced as he seems to be, having taken the year off due to COVID concerns in 2020. I thought he'd be behind the eight ball. I called him developmental. You're not going to get much out of him this fall. I'm not ready to switch off yet. Not yet. And you know what? A good game Saturday night's not going to change my mind either, because it's preseason football. It used to be called exhibition football, and the NFL didn't like that name, but I'll call it exhibition football. Let's see what happens when things get serious. We're a month away. Dallas Cowboys coming in. They've got some good offensive linemen, the Cowboys. They're left one healthy. One of the best in the league. We shall see. But I will say this. Tryon is getting more than his share of camp hype. JPP's now weighing in. Arians doesn't want him to get too carried away. I understand that. I think that's smart. But let's give him credit. So far, so good, Steve.
And you think about the depth that'll be on the field. Man, you're going to have some quality players on that field for the Bucks. I know Arian said he's going to play everybody, and we'll see if he changes his tune later in the week. But, you know, when you run the Bucks' second-team receivers out there, it still looks pretty darn good. I can only imagine Scotty Miller blowing by some guy who's going to be, working at a Hertz rent-a-car next week. Who knows? Sage Cameron Brate is back. First practice back, didn't do much today, but the mysterious injury remains a mystery. But here it is, August 10th. He's back. Your thoughts? You think this means that it's no big deal and he's going to be fully ready to go on opening night?
Well, my first thought is I got to get to the bottom of the Cam Brate mystery. Somebody will. It's going to come out, and I don't want it to be Ian Rappaport, you know, through his agent. I'm going to do a little digging, Steve, on behalf of you, behalf of this website. I'm going to do a little digging. Maybe I can find a Buccaneer, a coach, a player, certainly not a sports writer, but somebody that can fill me in with what the heck happened with Cameron Brate. I'm glad he's back. Now, I was the guy that went out on a limb last year at this time and said, boy, Cameron Brate, he's really, really going to flourish with a guy like Tom Brady, who's going to appreciate Brate's hands and his route running. And, you know, Steve, it really didn't happen. His production was okay, just okay. And that was in a year when O.J. Howard went down, you know, 5 weeks into the season. Well, Howard's back now. He's going to take snaps away, theoretically, from Brate. Gronkowski's not going anywhere because he's the best blocker out of the three of them. He's going to be on the field, Steve. So I think Brate, while he did make some big catches, Steve, I think he's going to be relegated, you know, 35 receptions, 4 touchdowns, and 400 yards. I mean, I think that's what Cameron Brate's looking at. Having said that, he still could come up with some big plays, especially in the red zone. He's a guy that I think Buck fans will be looking at on Saturday night with a keen eye.
Ira Jordan Whitehead went down with an injury, but we don't know what it is. We didn't see it happen. He was not at practice today, and Arians dropped the ominous, we'll have to wait and see. And then he was pressed on whether it was Whitehead's shoulder, and he just wouldn't go there. And, you know, his exact quote was, "We'll find out. Thanks." Does that scare you at all?
I think it's a precarious situation. Not as much for the Bucks as an organization, but for Jordan Whitehead. Because I believe, based on my conversations with coaches, that Mike Edwards is coming on strong. Now, his first year, much like Rojo's, was a disaster. It didn't look like he had a future in this league. The word is he took bad angles to the ball. That's a nice way of saying he can't tackle. He's out of position all the time. And like Ronald Jones, Steve, he has gotten better and better to the point where I don't really think he was going to unseat Whitehead in this camp, but he's pressing for playing time. And I think between Whitehead, Winfield, and Edwards, I think if you're really going to be candid about it, I think Edwards has the best ball skills of the three of them, and that's including Winfield. He's not a complete player yet, but he's growing on these coaches. So what I'm saying is, if this is an injury, whether it's shoulder, knee, ankle, hip, whatever it is, if it puts Whitehead out for an extended period of time, I think Edwards is going to make such an impression, and he's got that kind of potential, Steve. It's going to be tough to dislodge him out of that lineup and get Whitehead his job back. Hopefully, it's not a serious injury to Whitehead. Might miss a week or two. No big deal. If it's anything more than that, I think Edwards is going to make a big, big impression.
We'll see, Ira. We'll see. I'm not sure I'm sold on that, but you know, we don't really know what's going on with Whitehead. But yeah, they are high on Edwards. Lee wrote a story about Edwards is on the website right now, actually, a new story. So two one-liners that want to run past you, Ira, and then we're going to check out of here. But first, I want to thank all the Big Storm beer drinkers. You know, if you drink Big Storm and you get a can of Big Storm at your local store or you go to bigstormbrewery.com, punch in your zip code, find out where to buy it or to consume it. But if you send a picture to us of you drinking a beer, and it's a Big Storm, on Twitter at Joe Bucks Fan, we're going to share it. We do it all the time, and we appreciate the people who've done that just randomly. And, you know, I figured I'd mention on the podcast. It's just really thankful, really cool that people have done that, and we love to share that. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The Sage is going to be at the Big Storm Brewery Tap Room in Clearwater all season long, outdoors. 3,000 square feet of covered seating, gorgeous indoor tap room as well. And they've got their great food and tap rooms up in Odessa, Cape Coral, coming soon in Tampa, and in Orlando at the Amway Center. Big Storm Beer, Bromosa, Sunny Key Lime, Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale, the Kolsch you like, that's only on draft, Ira, but Bay Beer, of course, is a core beer, and that's in the stores as well. Big Storm Beer, we love it. Absolutely love it.
You know, Steve, one of these years, Cosmo's going to calm down enough to the point where I can bring him to Big Storm and not worry about him breaking free from his lease and creating havoc all through the covered patio area. But, Steve, I'm very jealous. Some of these people, they bring their pets and they're so well-behaved and they sit right at their feet. Cosmo's a year and a half Boston Terrier, Steve. That's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask. But I'm going to be careful. He's got to pass the Kaufman test, the Kaufman rules, and he'll get there, Steve. He'll get there.
He'll get there. I'm not sure he will, but we'll say it. We'll wish it along. Ira, JPP dropped an interesting one-liner. He said, quote, rougher than anybody on the team, and he was referring to his knee injury last year and what he had to fight through to get through that season. It was almost like a backhanded slap at Tom Brady. It was almost like... you rarely hear a player say my injury was worse than everybody else's, but that's kind of what JPP said. And we know how JPP is, but I think it really spoke to man, made you wonder, made me kick back and say, damn, how much better might he be?
Stevie, if it was anybody but JPP, you'd say, you'd like to say like every player is going through injuries during the season, you know, in week 8, nobody's healthy. You got to drag yourself through it. And by the way, that's one of the great things in the career of Rondé Barber, just to digress for a second, Steve, is the incredible, and I don't throw that word around, incredible longevity of Rondé Barber. And by that, I mean, Steve, it's preposterous to think Rondé Barber was not hurt many times during those first 15 years of playing 16 regular season games. Of course he was hurt. Sometimes pretty seriously, but he plowed through it. JPP, Steve, he has earned our admiration. He has earned our trust in terms of toughness. Look what the guy overcome. So if he's going to tell me that he was a hurting puppy last year, I'm going to believe JPP. It's not like this is a Johnny come lately, but he perseveres, and we've called him a freak of nature, Steve. We've been proven time and time again that he deserves that moniker. I think he's going to have another good season.
I think so, too. I mean, he just will not be denied. And I think JPP, honestly, is the kind of, it's just my take. He's the kind of guy who would walk away if he didn't feel he had anything left in the tank. But he had said after the season that he'd like to play at least a few more years. And, I mean, gosh, he's coming off a great season, a great postseason. Bucks only Pro Bowler. So that's just yet another exciting potential upgrade for the Bucks, as if they need any. Ira, the last one I got to hear your opinion here, but we want to remind everybody, you can listen to the podcast on Podbean, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe at all these locations. You get a free alert when the podcast posts, so you listen right at joebucksfan.com. Rock Riley has a new podcast kicking off, Ira, with us, exclusive to joebucksfan.com. And it's going to be Bucks Kickoff with Rock Riley. It's going to drop 24 hours before every game. And Rock's going to have some unique perspective. He's been at a training camp a ton and looking forward to it.
Steve, I'm not getting off this podcast. I know you got another question, but I'm not getting off it until I hear a public happy birthday, Ira, from Mr. Steve Isbitz. How about it?
Ira, it is a joy to celebrate your birthday with you. Number 77 is always a special day. Tom Moore can attest. And Sage, I hope you have a good night planned with your wife. I'm sure that she's going to be taking care of her man, getting you some nice food, maybe some tater tots, not giving you grief when you get that Culver's giant dessert that you always get. And of course, many, many more years, Ira. There would be no greater stain against the humanity of Tampa Bay sports than for you to retire or to give up your Hall of Fame vote. There's no reason, Ira, that you can't work one day a week until you die. Somebody will always want to talk to you, and not that we're putting you on death's door, Ira, but the point is that it's a happy birthday, but it also means you got many, many more, and you're not going anywhere.
Thank you, my man. And Steve, one more quick one before you ask me that finale. Steve, on a somber note, and you didn't know the guy, but if you did, you'd feel like I do today. But the late, great David Alfonso was a long time member of the Tampa Trip staff during the Tom McEwen era. Many of our podcast listeners were avid Trip readers. They know David Alfonso did a lot of college football, born and bred a Gator, loved his Gators, and did boxing. And just a note, he got taken from us a little bit too soon, Steve. Tough time, and my sympathies to his family.
Yeah, I did not know him, Ira, but I did read his obituary, which he wrote himself. You might want to get started on yours right away, Ira. No, I'm not making light. It was very well done, and obviously Mr. Alfonso had a tremendous sense of humor. You know, it made me think I should write one of those myself. He also was a teacher at Plant High School for a bunch of years, so there's plenty in our audience who probably had him as a teacher or knew him very well through the school.
He was what you would call a character, Steve, much like you and I, a character.
Well, there's only one Sage, Ira, but yeah, I'm sure he was close. Ira, this got a lot of reaction on Joe Bucks Fan. That's not why I wrote it. It's just when I heard it, it was one of those things like, holy crap, I got to rewind this because what's going on here? So this is what I'm talking about, Ira. I'm listening to, SiriusXM NFL radio. They'll be at Bucks camp tomorrow on your birthday. Yeah, I believe they'll be there tomorrow with their crew on their annual training camp tour, but they already went to the Saints. So I listened to Jameis Winston's interview, and they asked him, of course, what's the biggest thing you learned from Drew Brees? And Jameis explained that he learned how to have an exact schedule. And he explained that with the Bucks, quote, I'm not even thinking about the routine and how I'm going to be doing things. And he explained that he put in the work with the Bucks. You know, he's working really hard and was hyper-focused and all that, but he didn't have a finite schedule. And he said, now I'm structuring everything I do throughout my day. I just go out there and I do those things and I have my schedule and I execute. It's simple. It's not too tough. And he goes on to say, like, I think I made things too challenging and blah, blah, blah. But basically, he's saying now he finally has a schedule. So are we to believe that the Bucks got a young quarterback in here with Lovie Smith and Dirk Cutter and Bruce Arians and didn't script the guy's week and say, look, this is what you do down to the minute and and what do you think? And let's make adjustments, but here's how you got to be great. This is what Peyton Manning used to do, or this is what Matt Ryan does. Am I missing something, Ira? What's going on here?
I'm with you, Steve. I mean, I hate to say it, but it sounds like Winston's been slapped around a little bit in training camp. Maybe some of the Saints defensive linemen have gotten to him a little bit. You made the exact point. Three different head coaches, Steve, three, including Cutter and Arians, who are noted quarterback gurus. You know, are you telling me Matt Ryan didn't have a schedule under Dirk Cutter in Atlanta? Didn't know anything about it? Come on. And then he gets rehired in Atlanta with Matt Ryan? If Matt Ryan didn't want Cutter back in Atlanta, Cutter wouldn't have been rehired, period. End of story. He welcomed him with open arms. That tells me that, Cutter is very good at nurturing young quarterbacks or veteran quarterbacks. So I think it's a lot of hogwash from Winston. Look, he's in New Orleans. He knows Brees is a god in the Crescent City, and deservedly so. And, you know, he's speaking to Who Dat Nation. And anything he can do to pump up Drew Brees is going to go over very well. He's in the battle of his life for this starting job. I wish him no ill will. Steve, everything you hear out of New Orleans, and I mean everything, is negative. It's bad. This Michael Thomas thing is a debacle. And, you know, hey, I'm the guy to call him the best receiver in football in 2019. Why not? He was. He was unstoppable. And now he's a liability. I think they wouldn't mind moving him, as unthinkable as that might have been. Something is wrong with Michael Thomas. And as a result, Steve, Winston's got nobody to throw through to if he wins the job. I mean, he's got nothing. He reminds me of Tom Brady with the 2019 Patriots. Steve, could be the same situation. However, Winston's no Brady. That team won 12 games, had no business going 12-4 in New England. But you got Belichick and you had Brady. They covered up a lot of problems. Not so in New Orleans. Steve, the Saints have the look right now of a 9-8 football team, and that's good news for Buck fans.
Yeah, they just had Patrick Robinson, their nickelback, surprised them with a retirement. So that's another knock to the Saints. I got to say this, Ira, just so I'm clear for my what I'm putting out there. I don't really know. I'm not blaming Jameis. It just sounds fishy, but I don't put it past Lovie and Cutter and even Arians to have maybe missed the boat in micromanaging this guy the way they seem to have needed to. I put that equally on them. And, you know, I don't really know the truth is what I'm trying to say, but something's really fishy there. And I don't know who deserves the talk, but or who deserves the finger wag, but it speaks to the lost decade of Bucks football, and I'm glad it's over.
Well, Steve, think of it this way. 2015, Cutter's not the head coach. He's the offensive coordinator. He's not bothered with all these myriad side issues that head coaches have to deal with. Winston had a pretty good rookie season, and Cutter's job was to nurture Jameis Winston. It was his only job, basically, because as Winston went, the offense went. Are you telling me that Dirk Cutter was not organized as an offensive coordinator only that year, focused completely on Jameis Winston and putting him in the best position to win, and as a result, he didn't have a schedule? You know, I'm just not buying it.
I got you. I don't know if I buy it either, but it's one of those mysteries of Bucks history, Sage. And what's no mystery is that you're the birthday boy, and fans can hit you up on Twitter at iKaufman76 if you want to send Iris some birthday love, or even comment under the podcast, or you can comment on the podcast platforms, on some of them anyway. Drop a comment there. Send the Sage your love. Ira, enjoy yourself out at $1. And we'll be back very soon with our deeper dive for sure into what's been going on at $1 Palace and leading up to this preseason game, Sage. Be well.